100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at one a day until the day I die.com. We have a whole bunch of stories on the topic of mirror for you today. It's the weekly challenge, after all. I post the topic, you come up with the stories. We've only been doing this for 494 weeks, if you count Hurricane Ike, which really didn't... Was it Ike? Was it something else? I can't remember. It's been so long. We could just forget about it and say 493 weekly challenges. I mean, when I broke my freaking elbow, I got it posted. Eventually, right? Anyway, let's go ahead and get with the challenge. We've got Jeffrey, Muncie, Charlie, Richard. Kim says she came over here from the Blogus, which, my God, I think that was before the hurricane. So, welcome, welcome. The Blogus is still a thing? Is blogging still a thing? I used to blog. I don't. Is this a blog? That just happens to have sound? I don't know anymore. It all changes. Harry, you weigh anchor now, even though you don't have an anchor. I probably made that comment at least 20 times already, as opposed to the lack of comments from last week. So we've got Lizzie, Serendipity, Tom, Tura, Zachman, Spate. Spate's back. Yay, hi, Spate. Norval Joe, and Planet Z. Yeah, you have to be gone for me to actually notice you were here. I'm such a jerk. So I could blame the traffic problems on the site, trying to get stuff in and out and files and all that on the server. The server has been having more resource unavailables and running out of oomph more often than not. I've been keeping an eye on it for once, and I've been trying to get a backup of the site so I can move it over to my colo server and then redirect the name servers and check that out for a while, except I can't run a freaking backup because it runs out of resources and all that. So I've got to write the host and say, hey, can I run an experiment here and just move this over for a bit? Yeah, that's going to go over well. So we'll see that happen in the next few weeks, hopefully. The colo had an issue a few weeks ago with power, but I think that's been resolved. And then there's been talk about, you need a one-rack unit server instead of two. Well, I got this from Vice President. We run this for your benefit. Not exactly in that tone, though. It's a nice suite. We run this for your benefit, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the fact that people make the time to organize these things, put in the extra effort, and I appreciate the time that they do in helping folks and keeping it coordinated and getting the air conditioning going and making sure it doesn't flood and all those important things. Those are important. It's a great value, and it's a great thing that they do for others. But to, you know, this rule. Okay. If they're guidelines, they're guidelines. And if they're rules, they're rules. And then treat everyone fairly. And I think they will. They're good folks. They're good folks. And I wouldn't be there if it weren't for the fact that they were good folks. Now, my being somewhere is not necessarily a judgment on whether someone is good or bad. I mean, the last company I was with, the clown bitches, oh God. The fact I was there for so long was just I was trying to get my head on straight for so long. Therapy would have been cheaper. Before that, the TV station, fuck that shit. Then it was consulting and other stuff, which is kind of fun, but kind of dead end. Plus BMC sucks ass. And then before that, a PBS station where I learned a lot. But towards the end, yeah, you're trying to post out a user guide and a deaf, senile pain in the ass drags his feet for a year, nitpicking little bits here and there. And it's like, really? You don't want to have any policies. You just want to have a how-to guide, but you're just going to let the marketing bitches roll over everyone. And no, marketing people that I work with now, you're nice, wonderful people. And this was reaffirmed. I was reassured of this fact when I was among you for a few days. And I saw how well you worked together, as opposed to the drunk bitches that were at Houston Public Television. But that was years ago, and they're probably all dead from cirrhosis by now. And if they're not, I mean, I'm sure they're appearing on air going, "Hey, give your money for a tote bag." Fuck, I don't need a tote bag. Although they're not tote bags anymore. They're now renewable grocery bags. Yeah, another way to market that shit. $75 for the three fucking tenors. How many tenors are left, by the way? Yeah, I thought I'd let myself roll this week. So, what else? Oh, yeah, the parade of savages, dictators, and bloody-handed scum. And then a few moralistic European democracies, which are really just, you know, well, we just happen to have a king, but we're really a democracy. Yeah, Oonga Boonga Land would like to remind you that King Oonga Boonga the Sixth and his 12 wives would like more F-16s. So that shit's going on. Look at UN.org for that savage parade. We condemn the United States for all the horrible things it does across the world. By the way, give us more money. Boonga Boonga just saw a real hottie and he wants to make her the 23rd wife. So fuck all that noise. If you are from Oonga Boonga Land, I do not apologize, and I think you should be bombed off the face of the earth. Wow, you probably have Doctors Without Borders treating you because you send all of your children to religious school as opposed to making a fucking doctor or two now and then. So others have to do your medicine for you. Yeah. If Doctors Without Borders were serious, they wouldn't set up hospitals. They would set up medical schools. Yeah. Or, you know, get a bunch of talented types, bring a whole bunch of them over, put them in various sketchy South American medical schools. Hey, it's better than nothing. And then send them back so that, you know, when the terrorists decide, hey, let's send a few of our others and fire a few of our guns from this location and then fuck up the CIA and then, you know, false flag it and then, you know, get them to bomb the place. Yeah. When you have terrorists making phone calls after they get shot and the CIA intercepts them, this is what it's probably going to turn out to be. Now, it sucks that a hospital gets bombed. It really fucking sucks. Innocent people fucking die. And innocent people are dying all over the place. In Yemen, too, but you don't see anyone bitching out Saudi Arabia because they're the head of the Human Rights Commission or something like that. Yeah, them about human rights. Yeah, want to show me human rights? Have one of your four wives drive on her own or shop on her own or fly out of the country. Yes, but you're probably going to be the head of women's rights at the UN at some point. This is fucked up, people. Seriously fucked up. What are you going to do about it? What the hell are you going to do about it? We, us. I don't know. So, that's my rant for the week. I'm sure you've probably hit stop and, what the shit do I do this week? Why can't I go? I'm just going to Google 100-word stories and see if anyone else does this shit. Is there 100wordstories.com out there that I can be a part of? Yeah. So yeah, something crawled up my butt and died the past few weeks, and I'm just a little pissed off. And also a little heavier than I should be. I'm around 217, 218. I could bitch about that, but really it was the two pieces of chocolate pie that I ate yesterday that really did me in. You know, calorie bombs. Why did I eat? I don't know. I saw them at the fucking store and I said, I want these. I saw these being made on How Stuff Is Made. I would like to see how it turned out. Yeah. I could have just, you know, gummed one and then threw it out. No. I'd be an asshole and eat the two pieces. And I had a pizza because it had venison on it. I could have had one slice, two slices, thrown out the right. No, I had 7.5 slices, threw out half a slice, and thought, hey, I didn't need a whole pizza. What a dick. What a dumbass I am. And I keep track of my walks in a spreadsheet. And whenever I don't go 60 minutes at least 2 miles an hour at 3 degrees incline, 2 miles an hour is wussy. If I don't do that, I put in a red block. And I've been having a lot of red blocks, whether I just underdo it or I don't do it at all. I've at least walked once a day. At least once a day. But it's not enough. Especially I'm going to eat like a jackass. I mean, I've got the kale, I've got the spinach in the fridge, and I can make salads with it. It could be so easy, so simple. Just take 30 freaking seconds. Bowl, dump it in. Pour the nut mix on it. Pour whatever on it, you know, a light salad dressing, and ready. Mix it up. Done. Eat it, fucker. No. Too lazy for even that. It's all messed up, and I need to get my shit together. Now, I'm bitching about this after having lost over 50 pounds, and yet I'm bitching myself out for these screw-ups. You know, 1 or 2 pounds up, bounce here, bounce there, it's plateaus and all that shit. I should be doing Weight Watchers. You know, look at Lenny Clark, the comedian. I mean, I was watching Rescue Me, the series. The series shouldn't be about Dennis Leary or 9/11 or any of that crap. It should be a weight loss series on how Lenny Clark got slim. And apparently his wife is some sort of fisherwoman, and they get this fish, and they eat the good fish, and they, you know, the good recipes. And me, I'm fucking up with pie. Every time I go to the grocery store, I get something that fucks me up. And it was that pie. And, well, I guess the pizza, because I got these smaller pizzas, you know, these 7-inch pizzas and these 4-inch pizzas, and I could just make one of those to get the sensation of pizza out of me. You know, okay, I had pizza, good, now I can eat salad. But I screwed up. I screwed up. I admit it. Me, I did it. To myself. It wasn't the people who made the pizza or set up the aisles or the commercials that were Pizza Hut, Pizza Hut, Pizza Hut. Well, I'll get this other pizza. It's not fucking Pizza Hut. But really. So what I'm going to do today is I'll probably use my Apple Pay at Subway and get a decent sandwich, but it's going to be all freaking bread. Well, what if it's wheat bread? That's good for you. Oh, don't get me started. So, let's go ahead and do some stories now that I've ranted your ass off. And let's listen to Jeffrey. So, Jeffrey, tell me a story.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 493 on the topic of Good Buddy. My first story is called The Borrower. Hank and Stu were the best of friends. So when Hank needed a loan of $100, Stu didn't hesitate. Ditto when Hank asked to borrow Stu's car, and when Hank wanted to move in with Stu after Hank's eviction. Stu had to admit he was relieved when Hank moved out, only to find that Hank had stolen Stu's identity and was living large on fraudulently obtained credit. Good pal or not, this was a step too far. Stu started to dial the police when the cops showed up at his door. Seems Hank had been involved in a hit-and-run in Stu's car. Hank must have figured Stu would lend Hank 5 to 10 years of Stu's life, because that's what good buddies are for. And my second story is called 10-4. During the 1970s, my dad succumbed to the CB radio craze and bought a Radio Shack unit for the car. We rarely talked to anyone, but Dad paid attention when truckers warned one another about speed traps. One day, he had the opportunity to return the favor. We had encountered a state trooper with his radar gun out, parked just over the crest of a hill on the interstate. Dad braked just in time, then thumbed the microphone. "Hey out there, be on the lookout for Smokey past the ridge at mile marker 179. He's in the median. Ugly hat with a radar gun. 10-4. A few minutes later, we heard the bleep of the siren as the trooper pulled us over. The cop leaned into the car and said, "Ugly hat, huh?" That's how Dad learned the police also listened to CB radio chatter. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week with more stories.
Greetings, Halloweenies. And yes, I am aware that I've already nicknamed you the Halloweenies on here. But that doesn't matter because it is October and I am losing my shit. Halloween is coming. Okay, calmer now. Let's do a story. On the Nature of Friendship by Christopher Monroe. You can't spell good buddy without good bud, and that's why I believe that a true friend will help you find marijuana. That follows, yeah? I don't often smoke the stuff myself, it puts me to sleep. But if somebody comments on wanting some, I like the challenge. It makes for a fun game for me. I'm a grown-ass adult with zero drug connection, but I'm reasonably intelligent and extremely tenacious, and if I want to buy drugs, then by Zod, I am going to find someone to sell them. Yeah, I'm also surprised I don't get arrested more often. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzyMunzy. So it goes, Halloweenies. Now let's get this October a-rollin'.
Charlie here. Good day, all. My good buddy is my friend, Prince. Prince is a rare Louisiana Catahoula leopard dog. He is mid-sized, but only in stature. His IQ was tested at the University of Davis Veterinary School, and measured 130. 130 is a few points higher than the mean IQ of Harvard students. Prince knows over 15,000 words, including common directives like sit, etc. Commands are frequently strung together to form intricate instructions like, go outside, evacuate your bowels, then come inside for your supper and a drink. Be sure your anus is clean, and wipe your paws before entering. Thank you, good buddy.
Good morning. I'm Richard. At least, last time I checked, I was. There's always a chance that could have changed. Anyway, I have some stories for you, two in fact, on the topic of good buddy. And the first one is good buddy. From the moment I saw it, Every Which Way But Loose was my all-time favourite film. More than that, it shaped my career and set me on a lifetime's quest to live the dream of the long-distance big rig driver. I won't say it was easy. It's a hard lifestyle and a lonely road we truckers drive. But we're a real community. And sometimes when I'm perched way up high, looking down on those lesser mortals hanging around my wheels, I can see myself as Clint Eastwood. Just like in the film. Almost. All I need now is an orangutan. My second story is called Charlie. I had my doubts about Charlie. Sure, he could write a good tune, and his band had bags of enthusiasm, but he just didn't have the voice for it, or much else, for that matter. He was no Elvis, that's for sure. Presley had the hips, the lips, the looks, and that look in his eye. Not to mention the voice of an angel. What did Charlie have? A pair of spectacles and some catchy rhythms. There was no comparison. Then he played me his song. That'll Be the Day. And I was hooked. That's good. That's real good, buddy. And there you go. Those are my stories. This is me. I've checked again. Still me. And you're probably still you. So until next week, keep being you, and I'll keep being me. Goodbye.
Hi, this is Kim, and this is my very first submission to the 100 Word Stories Challenge. Dear good buddy, it probably seems strange to you that I'm writing you a letter since we talk every day. Some things are just better expressed in writing. I've known you, God, a lifetime, right? In that time, you've been an amazing person. Remember, you went skydiving because you're afraid of heights, and you sang in front of 5,000 people because you have stage fright. You were, no, are, my rock star. These last few months have been hard, I know, but it will get better. I'm here for you. Don't make me leave. Please, put the gun down. Love yourself.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. Call him, call him. He couldn't call him. What about Helen and the kids? That nagging voice at the back of his mind wouldn't give up, though. Just call him and get it over with. His life would crumble to pieces, or it would start anew. The lying, the hiding, the cheating, the faking, all would be a faint recollection of a tortured past. But the damn questions he'd have to face. Where did you meet him? When did you meet him? Did you ever love me? Call him. Hello? Martin? This is Frank. That was it. It started. Finally. And this was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodkoff.blogspot.com and have a great week. Bye-bye.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. A good buddy is hard to find, but you're the very best. You have all the qualities and more that set you above all the rest. A good buddy is always there for you, holding your hand, wiping away your tears, and helping you back onto your feet. A good buddy laughs at your jokes, knows your secrets, and shares the good times and the bad. So I know you won't mind taking the rap for what I've done. And I know you really won't mind that I used your carving knife, covered in your fingerprints. Thanks, good buddy.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And I've got updates. First, the Golden Monkey is a non-statuary award. On the other hand, the Iron Monkey comes with an actual ton of iron. Just send us $60,000 and we'll mail it to you. Story total, a hair under 8,000. Story average, a sad 16.22. Movement. If Charlie posts 3 this week, he takes the 41st place, displacing Fracker, or Fricker, or Frick Fracker. Lizzie moves ahead of Steve the Nuclear Man to become the 11th monkey. Jeffrey passes Zackman to become the 6th monkey. And your humble scribe finally takes all the marbles, dethroning Sing to become the number 1 monkey. And I have 2 stories this evening. The first, brain dead and damn proud of it. What do you do when you have no idea of what to write about? Parse the topic. Well, the root of buddy is bud, and by context, this would be a reference to a person whom shares their father's name. Better than the diminutive junior, but not by much. Metaphorically, a pre-photosynthetic appendage of a family tree. Now place a Y at the end, further diminutifying the term. Double diminutive. Doesn't get much better. For comparisons, best, better, good. Good is pretty much a third-rate adjective. So you end up with a triple diminutive term of endearment. 10-4. And the second story, bad zeitgeist. You know your fad has reached maximum exposure when someone writes a humorous pop song. The Streaker, King of the Road, Beethoven's 3rd Symphony. Did anyone write a pet rock song? When C. Being, Smokey and the Bandit into Mom and Pop America, the docile droning of Convoy oozed out of every radio pore. In short order, even your grandmother started saying, 10-4, good buddy. Right at you, rubber duck. I wish to God I didn't have to confess this, but while CBing, I was actually wearing a leisure suit. Did anyone ever write a song about a polyester Nehru leisure suit? And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Tora Brazoino here with a story on the subject, Good Buddy. The original Good Buddy app was just a chatbot. You'd let it read your social media accounts, and it would learn to be your virtual companion. It really took off when we bought a robotics company and created the Good Buddy robot companion. We got so huge that when Facebook tried to acquire us, we bought them. The real money is in the advertising. If you ever chatted with your Good Buddy about where to take a holiday, you went where someone paid us to suggest. The NSA would love to get access, and Don't Be Evil is so yesterday.
This is Zach Mann. Gil and I have been friends for a long time. Every few months, when our routes match, we'll stop and have lunch. Gil has a teddy bear that he calls Monkey McKay. Today we stopped in a truck stop called The Uncharted. After Gil picked out a new souvenir t-shirt for Monkey McKay, he met me near the Little Debbie's Wafers. Sure enough, just like the last time I stopped for peanut butter wafers, two cars turned into giant robots and started to fight. So here I am, stuck in the Uncharted's desert aisle with Gil again. And his little buddy.
Intermittent spate.
Strangest man I ever met. Everywhere he went, he would be talking to his imaginary friend called Good Buddy. At first, I thought he was talking to me, but his words were aimed into empty airspace, and over time, I realized I was outside of the conversation. Then one day, I found him folded over, crying. I put my hand on his shoulder as comfort. Good Buddy died, he choked between sobs. Reality, I offered with a sympathetic shrug. He looked at me, squinting through tears. You don't understand. He died 20 years ago today. Good Buddy was my son.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 493 with a prompt of Good Buddy. In other news, I've started another podcast. It's called the YA Books Podcast, and I interview authors of young adult books. So if you're interested in hearing what's going on with different authors, how they are find their inspiration and do their work and hear about their books, check it out at yabookspodcast.com on Libsyn or on iTunes. Here's my story. Durgle walked into Bust a Gut 24-hour gym. Long John followed, but stopped at the door and sat. Durgle turned back, patted the wiener dog, and said, "You're a good buddy. I'll be out in an hour." The owner, Rick Racker, smiled from behind the counter. "Can I pay you cash for a month membership so I can use your shower?" Durgle asked. "The water's not working at your place?" Rick asked. "No, I don't exist anymore," Durgle said, "so no one will rent to me." "That's pretty harsh," Rick said. "Park your van in my lot if you want." Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Dr. Pepper used to advertise that you should drink a bite to eat at 10, 2, and 4. But if you drank that much Dr. Pepper, your teeth would rot from all the sugar, and you'd be dead from diabetes before 40. Hell, you'd be better off drinking vodka that often and early. Unless, of course, you're a truck driver. Cletus always kept a jug of Smirnoff in the cab. He crossed the median line one day and went head-on with a church van. He was driving a Dr. Pepper truck. See? I told you that shit would kill you.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on the topic of Good Buddy. Thank you all for being a part of the weekly challenge, despite my rambling and ranting and angriness and all that crap. And hopefully next week will be much better. We'll get this all out of our systems. Okay, maybe I'll be better and you'll just be as great as you always are. Kiss your butt, kiss your butt, kiss your butt. There's the support you needed. You know, if you need external validation, you need to take a look in the mirror, which was last week's topic, and think, what motivates me? What makes me an artist? What makes me an artist? I got plenty of time and nothing to do in it. Except walk on a frickin' treadmill, which is what I'm going to do in a few minutes. I will see you next week when the topic is us. One a day until the day I die.com. You can leave a comment, whine, bitch, moan, or just put it in your weekly story. I don't know. Wrap it up. Thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.